Kuwait, now the base for tens of thousands of American troops, will be the main launching pad for any war against Iraq. But there are signs of concern and resentment in what is the most pro-American country in the Persian Gulf. Many Kuwaitis are suspicious of Washington's long-term goals in the Middle East. NPR's Anne Garrels reports on the danger of growing anti-American sentiment.
Given their tumultuous history with Iraq, most Kuwaitis support the U.S. troop presence and the removal of Saddam Hussein. But conservatives resent the fact Kuwait needs the U.S., and liberals like Amin Bishara feel very vulnerable.
We are in bed with the Americans to dislodge Saddam. There is no way back. If the Americans change their mind tomorrow and say, Saddam is a fine guy, he has done what we want to do, and they leave here, we are left in a dreadful cold against an enemy who we allied against, conspired, according to him, against, prepared for war against. We do not have plan B on this issue. And we need also the Americans to be aware of this.
On the face of it, Kuwait looks like an American suburb. It's one long shopping mall dotted with familiar stores. Go out at night and you're likely to find yourself in a Burger King, a McDonald's, Chili's, or TGI Fridays. But appearances can be deceptive, and the standoff with Iraq and the presence of American troops have exposed the expanding influence of Islamic extremists in Kuwait. They've attacked U.S. troops three times in as many months, killing and wounding American personnel. While the government insists these are isolated incidents, Saad Ajami, a former information minister, says it's time to admit the same resentments that spread through much of the Arab world have now reached even this traditional pro-American enclave.
Mosques are no longer state-run. They are extremist-run. These mosques are actually a breeding machine. They turned into breeding machines for these people coming out, looking at the world as black and white, and trying to create their own quote-unquote idealistic paradise of how the world should be.
Saud Nasser Sabah, a former ambassador to the U.S., oil minister, and member of Kuwait's ruling family, blames the government for trying to appease all sides and waffling in the process.
We just hope that the government now takes the lessons. We're extremely upset and sorry what really happened to our American friends in Kuwait. But unless we do something about it, I'm afraid we're going to see more of these incidents happening.
He's long argued the government has done little to rein in Islamic militants, particularly their sources of financing.
We've had, people coming from the United States, from the Treasury Department, to look into these issues after 9/11. They went away with no substantial information because there is no accountancy in those institutions. And no one can control their activities.
And divisions in Kuwait become clear, especially as people try to imagine what the region will look like without Saddam Hussein. Conservatives fear the U.S. will become a colonial power, imposing American cultural values at the expense of Islam. But Shafiq Ghabra, director of the Center for Strategic and Future Studies, fears the U.S. will not be involved enough.
You're not sure how far could the U.S. commitment be for Iraq, year after year, into the context of nation building. What worries me is what could be a lack of a strategic vision for the region.
And there's one fear that's echoed across the political spectrum, that if Iraq is the new prize in the region, Kuwait and its interests will no longer matter. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Kuwait City.